There's been a lot of talk in the wake of the Me Too movement, and a lot of it has been rightfully aimed at men. These revelations are valid, and we are long overdue for a meaningful conversation about the behavior of men. But even though much of this conversation is centered around things that men should not be doing, there is one small yet proactive step that most men can take. And it sounds like this. Cooking is one of the things that makes us human. Other species gnaw on raw meat, but we fillet it with tender, loving care. That's because, for humans, food is more than just an energy source. It's a representation of our culture and our homes and background. Take this scene from The Office where Kevin Malone reflects on his special chili.
At least once a year, I like to bring in some of my Kevin's famous chili. The trick is to undercook the onions. Everybody is going to get to know each other in the pot.
Kevin's chili ends with a bang.
I'm serious about this stuff.
He stumbles at the reception desk and spills an industrial-sized pot of his creation across the floor. Then, inexplicably, he uses the pot lid and some office supplies to try and scrape his spillage back into the pot.
It's a recipe passed down from Malone's for generations.
Even though his chili ended in disaster,
it's probably the thing I do best.
Kevin is part of a minority. And it's not just the minority of people who think the 5-second rule should apply to soup. Rather, Kevin is a part of the minority of men who can cook. Even in 2018, there is still this huge gender gap when it comes to food preparation. In the United States, only 40% of men cook, whereas 70% of women cook. And this is a global trend. Women throughout the world carry out 2.5 times more unpaid household labor than men. I wanted to back up this statistic with one of those single data point anecdotes, so I asked my friend who comes from a nomadic community on the Tibetan Plateau. Culturally and geographically, it's about as far away as you can get from Durham, North Carolina.
How many Tibetans cook in your home?
How many Tibetans?
Sorry, how many men?
They like no men cooks.
No men?
Yeah.
Well, wait, did you cook as a kid?
Yes, I did. I did everything, like, took care of the yak dung, cook. I actually didn't cook by myself, but I helped mom to cook.
Okay, so is that frequent for kids to help their parents cook? Even boys?
Not very frequently.
Really?
Yeah, frequent. My mom makes us to do everything. For example, she would say, I will make the dough, and you will cut the vegetables, and then my sister will cut the meat like that. So we are all cooking.
So it's a team effort.
Yeah. But in the other families, I don't think that's what happens. Most of the families, only women cook.
There is this Tibetan dumpling called a momo. It's soft and juicy on the inside. The filling is usually vegetables, beef, yak, or my personal favorite, lamb. I've had this love-hate relationship with momos. The love comes from the way that they taste. The juicy inside doesn't overwhelm your palate with spice. In fact, Tibetan food in general tends to be on the blander side because of its remote location and the lack of available spices. But I've also had some hatred in my relationship with momos, and that hate comes from preparing them. I am part of that 60% of men who cannot cook, so today I've asked three of my friends, Sanji, Caleb, and Cece, to help teach me how to make momos, because I didn't really want to be a part of this 60% much longer. Cooking momos is traditionally a team exercise, and I figured, with four of us in the kitchen, what could possibly go wrong?
Step one, open the package.
I think.
Do you have scissors? Did you use scissors?
No, I didn't.
Why can't I open things?
I think you guys are so like so used to follow like instructions step by step. First, open and then wait.
Yeah. Did you see the first thing I did when I saw this? So at home, did you guys follow instructions or no?
No, we just do whatever we want.
Really?
Okay, so I was off to a weak start having to use scissors to open a package of cubed beef. And of course, being an American, I was completely reliant on directions. But we were also about to face our first challenge. We went to this Chinese grocery store to pick up the ingredients, and were told that we couldn't purchase ground beef. So we would have to ground it or grind it ourselves.
You've got to have a good sharp knife. And this one, which I like very much, has a blade 11 inches long. But you can use a shorter knife like this, which is 7.5 inches long.
That's the voice of Julia Child, the famed television personality. Us being college students, our knife selection was rather limited. We definitely didn't have an 11 or 7-inch knife. So we resorted to thwacking the hell out of the meat with the only knife we could find in the drawer until both meat and blade were beyond recognition.
Yeah, I guess that's true. What do you think? How's it looking?
It's looking good.
Meat's kind of disgusting.
So I should probably come clean with my own history with momos. For most of my childhood, my responsibilities in the kitchen were limited to setting the table and washing the dishes. And this became a real problem when I landed my first internship in Washington, D.C. I volunteered with an organization for 3 weeks, and although I wasn't paid, the NGO put me up in the director's apartment, as she was on a traveling fundraising tour during that time. A coworker helped me to move in and showed me the apartment where I could set up my things and where the sheets were. But as she was leaving, she noted that she had left some momos on the stove. And then she left. The only problem was that I had no idea how to cook momos. I didn't know when to take them off the stove, I didn't know how you could tell when they were ready. And so what ensued was a frantic moment that involved searching on Wikipedia and Epicurious and then WikiHow, and eventually I think I resorted to FaceTiming friends asking for someone, anyone really, who could help. While I succeeded in not burning down the apartment on my first day there, the experience had a lasting impact. And so for me, cooking momos again isn't just a fun thing to do with friends, it's my own form of redemption.
Do you guys want to start on the dough?
Do you want to make the dough?
Why me?
I'll make the dough.
Do you? Oh, no, thank you.
Yeah, I will.
You will not. Thank you.
The whole point of this party is I have to learn how to cook.
No, but you're not making
okay,
the dough.
Okay, all of this.
So my poor performance in the earlier steps almost led me to be banned during the harder parts, but don't worry, I still got to make the dough.
Okay.
Well, I don't know actually how much.
How much flour?
Well, however much you think this needs.
Oh my goodness, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's more than a little.
We're gonna cook
okay,
a lot
it over the
and
bowl.
Then put them in the bowl.
Making the dough is a balancing act. You have to add warm water slowly, but if you add too much, the dough will be too sticky, and not enough, it will become hard as a rock. So water is slowly added while you knead with your right hand continuously.
Help me out. Save that guy.
Wait.
Don't be too excited, okay? Calm down, okay?
I'm not excited. I'm dreading every minute of this.
So you can make something like this, uh-huh. And then pour water.
Yeah.
And then just go kind of this.
So softly.
Yeah.
I was doing it too rigorous.
Me.
Yeah. I'm going to fade out that soundbite and start talking about gender roles so that you don't realize how much work was needed to save my dough. The truth is, men like me are the reason that there still is a gender gap in the kitchen. In my family, even though my dad did maybe a bit more than half of the cooking, I wasn't really expected to participate in the kitchen. And this idea that men aren't expected to be able to cook has been lingering for a while now. Perhaps it was most prevalent in the post-war era. Just listen to the 1950 social engineering film A Date with Your Family, which was meant to teach etiquette.
This boy and girl, coming home from school, look quite content with life. And why not? They're looking forward to an important date, dinner at home with the family.
The film outlines the expectations for each member, but listen to how labor is divided.
Is it that late? Dad'll be here any minute. Better tell Mother she's needed in the kitchen.
Perhaps unsurprisingly, the mother and daughter are expected to cook and prepare the meal. But that's not the only expectation.
Daughter has changed from school clothes to something more festive. Dressing a little makes her feel and consequently look more charming. Mother, too, changes from her daytime clothes. The women of this family seem to feel that they owe it to the men of the family to look relaxed, rested, and attractive at dinner time.
While mother and daughter are hard at work, brother is getting ahead on homework so he can hang out with friends later. His only responsibility is cleaning his little brother's hands.
Ah, dinner time. Yes, mother. Junior remembered to clean up.
These gender roles also mandate the way in which food is consumed at the table.
No one starts eating until father has served himself. Tell mother how good the food is. Maybe sis rates a compliment, too. It makes them want to continue pleasing you.
This type of sexism wasn't limited to a single video on etiquette. The cover of the board game Battleship shows father and son playing while mother and daughter watch from the kitchen with smiles as they wash the dishes. Even so, it still pales in comparison to a 1952 advertisement from the beer company Schlitz. In it, a sobbing housewife holds a smoking frying pan of what was supposed to be dinner. She is comforted by her husband, who states, "Don't worry, honey. At least he didn't burn the beer." The sexism of the 1950s was visible. It was explicit. And it was pervasive. And although it seems distant and antiquated, it would be a mistake to say that it disappeared. In reality, it merely evolved. While historically it was said that a woman's place is in the kitchen, that was only the domestic kitchen. The restaurant world was always dominated by men. Today, there aren't too many social engineering videos that argue that women should dress up for dinner so as to please the men in the family. But we have become inundated with a new form of food media. It's an entertaining view of the commercial kitchen, a kitchen that remains doused in testosterone. Just listen to how it's served on television.
Who the fuck are you to turn around and tell me when you work like a pig? French pig!
Gordon Ramsay doesn't just occasionally blow a fuse. That kind of behavior is the backbone of his career. It's what makes him entertaining to watch. And he's not alone.
That's all right here, right now, on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Guy Fieri has a sweet theme song. But his entire career is based off the worship of machos and nachos. And these personalities are not limited to the television screen. Only 10% of executive chefs are female. Heck, even that rat in Ratatouille was voiced by a male. It seems that 2017 taught us that there are horrifying consequences for such toxic environments, and the commercial kitchen is no exception.
We begin this half hour with that new trouble for disgraced celebrity chef Mario Batali, a woman who worked for him now coming forward saying he drugged and sexually assaulted her, the NYPD confirming they have launched a criminal investigation.
As a man, when we hear these stories, I think it's often a tendency to distance oneself. I'm not directly enabling the behavior of Mario Batali or contributing to the toxic environment of a commercial kitchen. In fact, no chef in their right mind would ever let me walk inside their commercial kitchen. But what is clear is that even in 2018, the kitchen is undeniably gendered. And by hiding behind what I'm comfortable with, washing dishes and setting the table, I too am complicit in contributing to this genderfication. Back in Momoland, I was realizing that learning to cook wasn't as simple as it sounded.
Do you see my fingers here?
Yes.
Do you see my fingers here?
What do you mean by that?
No, you don't.
Jesus, why these are...
Okay.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because he wants them to be tall.
You go like this.
Yeah, that's good.
The last step of momo preparation is the one that requires the most skill. You have to morph the dough through a careful series of pinches and pulls, slowly shaping the momo into a leaf or flower or traditional round shape. To put it politely, my shapes were unique. And it became clear that if I really want to become a part of the 40% of men who can cook, I just have to put more time into learning. So, in retrospect, maybe I should have started with mac and cheese. But perhaps more importantly, regardless of what you cook, eating food and preparing it are experiences that are best when shared.